different polls have been taken. And in these polls, it's been noted that among Catholics, belief in the real and substantial presence of Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament has dropped down to anywhere between 65 to 75%. So what you have is 65 to 75% of Catholics who do believe that Christ is present in the Blessed Sacrament, but you have 35 to 25% who do not. Many Catholics saying that the Eucharist is but a symbol, and that, my brothers and sisters, is what we call heresy. The number should be 100% of Catholics who believe that the presence of Jesus Christ is there in a real and substantial way. But this false heresy, which came about through Protestants in the 1600s, is based on truth, but corrupts the truth and written into disbelief. People just saying now, it's only a piece of bread. And I hear Catholics saying the same thing. The Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament, Holy Communion, is not the real and substantial presence of the body, blood, soul, and divinity, the very person of Jesus Christ in the flesh, given under the appearance of bread, just because I say it is. It's not the presence of Jesus Christ because the bishop says so, or because the pope says so, or because any of the saints or doctors of the church says so. Myself, the bishop, the Holy Father, the saints, the doctors of the church, all say that this is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ simply because Jesus Christ himself declared it to be so. My flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him, says the Lord. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? How does he give us his blood to drink? This is wrong. And even the apostles themselves came to Jesus and said, this is hard to accept. And Jesus never said, I only meant it as a symbol. It's a figurative sense. All he asked them was, are you going to leave also? At the Last Supper, then they would see exactly what Jesus meant. From the earliest days of the Christian faith, as we read in the Acts of the Apostles, the first Christians followed Jesus' command at the Last Supper when he took bread, took wine, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to his apostles, saying, do this in memory of me. And so the early Christians came together each and every day, and principally on Sunday, for what they called the breaking of bread, what we would call the sacrifice of the Mass. St. Paul, who was not present at the Last Supper, but was later ordained by St. Peter and made an apostle by St. Peter, describes the power that he himself received and passed on to other presbyters, that is, the other priests and bishops in the early church. And St. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, this is my body that is given for you. Do this in memory of me. In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. The Eucharist, the great gift of the very presence of Christ himself. Notice what St. Paul says. What I received, I passed on to you. In the Gospel passage, we read about the miracle of the multiplication of loaves. And notice how St. Paul uses the very same words as St. Luke, which come from the Last Supper, that Jesus took the bread. He blessed it and broke it and then gave it to others. After he had fed 5,000 plus people, there were 12 wicker baskets left over. Obviously, symbolizing the 12 apostles would do exactly what Jesus himself commanded. Do this in memory of me. And thus the Eucharist from the very beginning has been the central act of worship of the church. This is the source and the summit of our faith. Everything that we do comes from it. Everything that we do leads to it. as we come here to hear the word of God in Scripture and to receive the word of God made flesh in the Blessed Sacrament. And why? Communion. It's communion. Christ wants to unite us and bind us to himself and to one another as one church, with he himself as the head. It's to have Christ living in us and you and me living in him. Again, as Jesus says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I remained in him. No mere symbol, no mere symbol, but as the Lord says in the Gospel of John, his true flesh and his true blood, his living and resurrected self. The five loaves of bread in the Gospel, those are symbolic. They symbolize the five wounds of Jesus on the cross, where he would offer himself as a living sacrifice, offering up his body and blood for our salvation. The five wounds, the five loaves. The two fish, those are also symbolic. Symbolic of his humanity and his divinity, where Jesus comes among us as God in the flesh, as he continues to come as God in the presence of the Eucharist. You put those numbers together, 5 + 2, you get 7. Again, the 7 sacraments that lead us into sanctifying grace. Of those 7, 6 come from Christ. One of them is Christ, the Eucharist. Jesus himself, as he calls himself, the bread who came down from heaven, the one who was born in Bethlehem, Bethlehem which means the house of bread, and laid in a manger, which we would also say manger. He came to be eaten, to be consumed, to become one with us. The lamb of Moses Passover in the Old Testament, that's a symbol, but that symbol is the reality of Christ. Christ the Lamb of God, our food for the journey, who in our Passover takes us from death into life. Now, how do you and I treat this gift? Many of you have seen, many of you remember, the communion rail that was used in churches. Some churches still have them. In former times, people were extremely careful not to approach the communion rail to receive the Eucharist unless they had gone to confession first of all. They wanted to be pure vessels to receive the purest one of all. People knelt down in reverence to receive the Holy Eucharist. They put their hands under a cloth, an altar cloth, and the priest alone distributed the Blessed Sacrament, being led by an altar boy with a paten. The paten and the altar cloth were being used very carefully to catch any crumbs that might fall from the sacred host. The priest would approach each communicant, saying in Latin, Corpus Domini Jesu Christi, custodiat animam tuam in vitam aeternam, which means, may the body of our Lord Jesus Christ preserve your soul to everlasting life. The communicants would say nothing, but simply open their mouths to receive our blessed Lord, and would leave reverently back to their pews and pray, reflecting on this eternal mystery which they were participating in. I don't know why that has changed in the Catholic Church. For myself personally, honestly, I don't see any good reason to have it changed, but it has. And now, everybody comes into line for communion. It's become a free-for-all. So whether people have been coming to Mass faithfully or not, whether they're guilty of sin or not, whether they're living together in sin or not, whether they're even Catholic or not, sometimes not even Christian, everybody comes in and everybody goes to commit to communion without any kind of discernment whatsoever. And I've seen where people walk up very casually, looking around, greeting each other, laughing, joking, nobody concentrating on the encounter they're about to have. It becomes a routine. We come and we get the bread. No thought, no understanding as to who, not what, who we are receiving or why. I can't turn the clock back to the way things used to be on my own, but as your pastor, I would certainly earnestly ask everyone here, to take very great care of your disposition and your demeanor in receiving the Blessed Sacrament. How so? A few things. Number one, to receive the Blessed Sacrament, one must be a baptized Catholic who has received your first communion. There are some exceptions for other baptized Christians, but that's too few to mention. But that's number one. Be a baptized Catholic who has received your first communion. Secondly, to be in a state of grace, that is, not guilty of any mortal sin. In fact, make it a good habit of going to confession regularly so that you can avoid receiving the Eucharist unworthily. Keep the Eucharistic fast. A lot of people have forgotten about that. We are still bound by the church to fast 1 hour before receiving Holy Communion. That means no food or any drink except for water or medicine 1 hour before receiving the Blessed Sacrament. Make an effort to come to Mass a little bit earlier, to put yourself in God's presence. You know, we all talk about the pressures of the world and the rat race that there is out there. This is the one place you can come and leave all that out and just be here in the presence of God and experience His peace. Come early, stay late, and bask in the joy that is the presence of God in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. Prepare for Mass by reading the Scriptures. Pray with the Scriptures with your family or personally at home, either Saturday evening or Sunday morning before coming to Mass. The missalettes you have in your pews, you can take those back home with you. You pay for them anyway, so you can take those home, actually, and use those to prepare yourself. Read the prayers, and when you come to Mass, to concentrate on those prayers, actively participating in this great act of worship that we're doing together. When you come to Communion, walk up slowly, reverently, prayerfully. Focus on Jesus Christ. Not the congregation, who's here and who's not. Focus on Jesus. When you approach the minister, let them say to you, the body of Christ, and respond, Amen. Not thank you or anything else, simply Amen. Open your mouth to receive the Lord, or if you must, in the hand, do so reverently. The left hand supported by the right at chest level, receive the Lord reverently, step off to the side, and consume the Lord reverently. Please don't grab it out of the priest or minister's hands. Please do not drop the host, and please don't run away with them either. I have some people doing that. Stop and receive, prayerfully, reverently, mindfully. If you have a baby in your arms, same thing. Receive by the mouth so that we don't have to put it near the baby's bottom, which is kind of unseemly. And ask our ministers, pay very close attention. This is for all of us, priests, deacons, lay persons. This is not a right, but a sacred duty and a privilege we have to give Christ's body and blood to our brothers and sisters. And please, spread the word. Let people know who we're receiving, why, and how, as people who truly believe in the real presence of Christ in the sacrament. Brothers and sisters, there's nothing more sacred, there's nothing more precious to us than the presence of Jesus in Holy Communion. There's nothing more important than what we're doing here now, celebrating Mass. And this is the whole reason why you and I were baptized. It was to remove the barrier to the sacrament of Christ living and present coming to us. I'll read to you an excerpt from an ancient homily by St. John Chrysostom that kind of pulls this whole thing together. St. John Chrysostom says, let us awaken in ourselves a feeling of awe and show great reverence to the Lord in this sacrament. For we shall bring down fire upon our heads if we approach this sacrament casually without thinking of what we do. By saying this, I do not mean that we should not approach it, but simply that we should not do so thoughtlessly. Just as coming to it in a casual way is perilous, so failing to share in the sacramental meal is hunger and death. This food strengthens us. This food emboldens us to speak freely to our God. It is our hope, our salvation, our light, our life. If we go to the next world fortified by this sacrifice, we shall enter its sacred portals with perfect confidence, as though protected all over by an armor of gold. But why do I speak to you about the next world? Because this sacrament becomes heaven. It becomes heaven for you. Throw open the gates of heaven, or rather not of heaven, but of the heaven of heavens. Look through, and you will see proof of what I say. What is heaven's most precious possession? I will show it to you here on earth. I do not show you angels or archangels, heaven or the heaven of heavens, but I show you the very Lord of all these. Do you not see how you gaze here on earth upon what is the most precious of all? You not only gaze on it, but you touch it as well. And you not only touch it, but even eat it, and take it away with you as a living tabernacle to your homes. It is essential, therefore, when you wish to receive this sacrament, to cleanse your soul from sin and to prepare your mind. Dear friends, it is Christ who wants to enter your soul and to draw you to Himself here and in eternity. He wants to make you like Himself. This is the living bread that came down from heaven, that we may eat it and live. It is up to you and me to reverse the heresy of disbelief and to go from 65 to 75% to 100% believing this truth, knowing for certain that Christ is present, that we live in Him and He live in us. We believe it, we live it. This is the living bread that came down from heaven. May we eat it and live. And as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, proclaim the Lord's death in our own lives and his resurrection until he comes.